Now, all those present were at first speaking with admiration of Jesus. They marveled at the words of eloquence that came from his lips. But then people began to say,
"Wait a minute. Isn't this a local boy, the son of Mary and Joseph, making these claims about himself?"
Then Jesus said to the people,
"No doubt you will quote to me that old saying, Physician, heal yourself."
And Jesus continued, "Then you will tell me,
so you see some miracles here in your own hometown, like you did in Capernaum."
Then Jesus said,
"I assure you that the prophets are never respected back in their old hometown."
Then Jesus reminded the people there in the synagogue that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And there was a great famine over the whole land. And Jesus said,
"However, Elijah was not sent to any of the Israelite widows."
And Jesus added,
"God sent Elijah instead to a poor widow at Zarephath, a Gentile town in the Sidon area."
Then Jesus told the people how at the time of the prophet Elisha,
there were many people sick with leprosy right here in our own country of Israel.
Then Jesus said,
"But none of our own people were ever cured. Only the foreigner Naaman was healed."
When the worshipers heard Jesus tell of these incidents, which indicated the inclusion of outsiders in God's promises,
everyone in the synagogue was filled with rage.
They jumped to their feet and hustled Jesus out of town, forcing him to stop on top of the hill on which the city was built. There, the people intended to throw Jesus over the cliff in order to stone him to death.
But Jesus slipped through the crowd and walked away.
Jesus then returned to Capernaum in Galilee, where on the Sabbath day he began teaching the people. And the people there were spellbound by his teaching.
Because he spoke as one who had the authority to say things that he was teaching and preaching.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I know it's not only the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And so I like a couple of corny jokes for you. First, and I'll treat the teams equally, I have to say. What do the New England Patriots do when they get overheated? They get closer to the fan. What did the Rams fan say when his team made it to the Super Bowl? "You have to be kidding." Enough of that already. You know, there was a painful reality that came upon me when I was in the fourth grade. It was called dodgeball. It was in gym class, and I was a new student that transferred from the north, right, above the Mason-Dixon line to North Carolina, where that mattered. And we were to play kickball in the gym, and no one knew me from Adam. The coaches, just to make it easier on themselves, allowed their two favorite athletic kids to pick teams. So they stood in front of us and they looked us all over. And one by one, people peeled off to one team or the other. You know, first it was their best friends, right? They got chosen. And then, you know, those who they knew had the most ability to either kick or dodge or throw fast. And so there we all were, and people were peeling off left and right, and then the dust settled, and guess who was the last person standing? You know, I don't even think anybody chose me for a team. The coach just said, "All right, go to that one." Yeah, okay, coach. You know what it's like, right? Not to be chosen. You know what it's like to feel like those last four or five in a class of 20 when it gets down to the slim pickings and you're feeling like nobody's going to choose me. Well, the Israelites were God's chosen people. God had chosen the Israelites to be on God's team. They were handpicked. They were the apple of God's eye. A peculiar people. And they were a different people who believed in one God, not many gods like their neighbors, who ate certain foods and not others, who had certain laws of cleanliness that they followed. These chosen ones were rescued from slavery in Egypt with God's mighty outstretched arm. These chosen ones had been led to the land of milk and honey. Chosen people. But chosen for what? Not to sit back and bask in their chosen status. But as God said to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, "In you shall all the people of the earth be blessed." Israel was chosen to be a light to the nations. Israel's God was not for Israel to hoard, but to share freely with all. The comfortable blanket of grace that enfolded them was meant to be unfolded and shared with others so that they may know God has a particular blessing in store for them too. Blessed to be a blessing. Chosen to choose others for God. You know, I think it's interesting here that perhaps Jesus' hometown crowd there in Nazareth is a little too familiar with Jesus to accept that he has anything new to share with them. Any new insight into God's kingdom to unleash in their midst. I think there's some jealousy going on here. That perhaps they've already heard of what's been going on, that Jesus has been doing miracles in Capernaum, that bigger city up the road. Why would he do some miracles right here in their midst in front of the hometown crowd? They were too familiar, perhaps, to see what extraordinary thing God was doing through them. So when he tried to reach out to them directly through the words of Scripture, how the poor people that God came to bring good news to, and the imprisoned people that God came to set free might actually be the people down the road who weren't themselves from the 12 tribes of Israel, that God might be in their midst, that God might choose them to choose. They were beside themselves. That's when the crowd became a mob. What, I wonder, can we refuse to hear because it comes from the lips of someone who is familiar to us? Maybe there are those that we know in the context of the church community for years. We know their home life. We know the pitfalls of their personalities. And perhaps familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes, when someone speaks, maybe it's in the church family, maybe it's somebody at work we've known for years, maybe it's somebody in our own home, and they speak and we tune it out because we believe that we can finish their sentences. But what if God chooses to speak to us through those familiar voices? What if God decides to say a word of truth through somebody that we've already got pegged as being of a particular bent, or someone whose past would make a social worker blush? What if God's favor is not just upon us, but upon them? What do we do with that? Can we accept a God who loves everyone as much as God loves us? Can we accept that that quilt of grace that was designed to cover us may be at its best when it fully covers everyone? Then we might catch a glimpse of what God's kingdom is really like. The kingdom he wants us to be familiar with. You know, I know a beach blanket might work better in Miami for this, but this is what I've got. This is my grandmother. She was handy. Grandmother Albright made these, we call them Afghans. Is that what they're called? Afghans. She made this Afghan. She made one for every one of her grandchildren. You know, so that we might know we're loved. And I've always said, you know, I still have this thing. She made it for me when I was probably 12. And, you know, it's just a great reminder that I'm a part of Albright clan. I'm loved. I'm chosen. She picked out these colors especially for me. Oh, I'm warm. No. But this thing's bigger than just me, isn't it? There's room for other people under this thing, isn't there? Think if I open this thing up a little bit, there might be room for somebody else. Come on up here, Debbie. Come on up here, Alan. Bring Judy too. Come on. Get under this thing. Man, even Ohio State people. We got room for a Cuban. Get up here. I think my grandmother out. This is what God believes the kingdom is like. It's not just for me. That grace isn't just for me. It's for all of us.
Bless your grandmother.
That kingdom that Jesus talks about, it isn't just for me. You know, and it's not just for the ones who keep insurance on their cars. That kingdom is not just for those who learn the golden rule from their parents. That kingdom is not just for the ones who made all of their big adult mistakes before age 21. That kingdom is for all. And when Jesus died, those arms were outstretched as far as they could go. And I do not think that was a coincidence. For they were outstretched for all of us. That's what Jesus was getting at in the stories about Elijah and Elisha, the prophets that came before him. One to a poor foreign widow who was down to her last morsel of meal and down to her last little bit of oil in the jug. And one that was about Naaman, the enemy nation's warrior leader who suffered a dreaded skin disease. These outsiders were in the realm of the chosen. They believed in God's promise that they would not hunger and that they would be healed. And God's blessing did not pass through their midst unnoticed. Blessed are we if we do not throw a wet blanket over Jesus' words. even when they carry a sting. But receive them as the words of eternal life.
Thank you.